What is going on, Bar Down Breakdown? We got our boy Travis here from No Dice. You'll notice that we are missing a square, and that is because Big Tom came down with 102 fever this morning in urgent care. So send some well wishes to our man Tom, and hopefully it's not COVID related and it's a speedy recovery.
But well, Tom,
super pumped to have Travis here from No Dice. Travis, what's going on, man?
How's it going, man? Oh, I'm good, man. Appreciate you having me on. Thanks.
Hell yeah, dude. It's been like, you know, we've been doing this show for over 2 years now at this point, and I'm always like trying to just like check off a fan for every team. And Columbus, surprisingly, has been super hard for us to check off, even though like I'll get guests on that live in the state of Ohio, but they're like Penguins fans or Sabres fans, but they're not Blue Jackets fans.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, to be honest. Well, it's like, you know, well, it's not even a newer team because we've been around for 20 years, but I don't know. A lot of my buddies that are fans now, you know, they grew up as like Red Wings fans or Pittsburgh fans and then converted when the team came, like, you know, but we were all probably like, five, six, seven, eight years old at that time. So I'm not surprised because I don't know if it was flipped, it's hard to switch allegiances like that. You know what I mean? So, but I am kind of shocked that you couldn't get a single one until me, like kind of shocked, but not really, I guess.
But yeah. So are you familiar with the band, The Safest Ledge? They're in the like Columbus, Cleveland area.
No.
Yeah, I was like, this is the one.
Yeah,
he's definitely going to be a Blue Jackets fan, but he was a Penguins fan, so
that's even worse. It couldn't get any worse than that. But I guess he was a nice guy.
No, he was awesome. So I guess let's talk about that because you mentioned how, you know, the team came into existence about 20 years ago. So I'm guessing you're around like the 25 to 27 range.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yeah, it's actually funny. So just like quick backstory while we're talking about the formation of the team. So that's actually the whole reason I live in Ohio. So my dad, he worked for MSG Network in New York. I was born in New Jersey. So he was working for MSG Network for the Rangers and the Knicks. And then both of my parents are from Ohio. So then he got word that a new NHL franchise was starting in Ohio, and they always kind of wanted to move back, to Ohio. So yeah, just applied for the job, got it. And then we moved. And so, yeah, we moved here in 2000. So when the team started, so.
See, I was going to bring that up because I actually did a little research and found that out. And I was like,
yeah.
Oh, this is super cool. I can't wait to talk about it. And I found like your dad's Twitter page. Mm-hmm. And like, because I'm a huge Islander fan. So all of like the Islanders MSG guys follow your dad.
And
I'm
like, okay.
All right, this guy's pretty important. And then I like started doing some research and I was like, oh, he works for like the broadcast side of Columbus, the Blue Jackets.
Yeah.
But he retired recently.
Newly retired. Yeah. This is his first year off the clock. So yeah, he put in 20 seasons, 21 years counting the lockouts. But so 19 and a half, I guess, technically with the half year and the full lockout year. But anyways, but yeah, had a great run in Columbus and, That's where the super fandom began for me. Started out kind of by force just to support dad and his livelihood. But as I grew up, I mean, I loved hockey from the first game I went to. So like I was at the inaugural game with my mom, sitting in the stands playing Chicago. We lost that game. It was kind of an omen to what was to come the next decade of Jackets hockey, I guess, in a sense. But I love the team and I'm always thankful that it brought me here to Ohio.
So when your dad was with the Rangers, was he there like the cup year?
So I was born in 93, they won 94. So he was working for the team when they won the cup. And it's kind of funny. I have like this like old picture because every like all the staff, you know, get to take pictures with the cup. So I got this old photo of him. It's like one of my favorite pictures of him. And he's like with the cup and he's like, yeah,
And he didn't like, put you hilarious. In the cup.
No. I was sleeping or something. I don't know. I was
that would have been a great like Christmas card picture.
Yeah, it probably would have been. I don't know. I'm sure someone did. It was some of the faculty probably brought their kids in and stuff. But no, it was just dad. I was a newborn man. I was just a little. I probably would have been crying or something. You know, pooping all over the place. Sounds like something I would do. So. Yeah, no, Amen. But yeah, but he was there for 94, which, if you ask him, obviously that was one of his best hockey moments working in the league. So,
and then you know when they moved to then Columbus, you know in 2000, 99, whatever it was, like, mm-hmm. Yeah, the buzz of a new franchise is definitely. A real thing, like you see it right now with Seattle, and I'm sure you know when the Islanders came into existence in 72, like the same thing, like you know we're getting a new team, like their new arena. So like being a 7-year-old kid, what was that like? Because you know I'm sure you are already a huge hockey fan, so yeah, at that point it must have been super exciting.
Yeah, no, it definitely was. And, you know, I think the biggest concern with starting a new franchise in Columbus, Ohio is the competition with Ohio State football. So I think a lot of people, I don't think people were worried about it, obviously, because they still made the team. But I think if anything, it showed people because I don't know if people really thought like the fan base was going to be there from the start. But I think if anything, it just proved that like, Columbus is a good sports community, no matter like what it is. And like all of our teams have been very well supported. And and then having the team start in Columbus, like, yeah, I was excited. I mean, honestly, I'll be honest, like when growing up, like I don't remember watching like Rangers games, like at home, surprisingly. Like I knew what my dad did kind of like, not really. I don't know. I was like 5 at this point. Like I just knew he worked for a hockey team and a basketball team. And that was kind of it. But I think when we moved here and then I started going to games consistently, that was the other thing too, traveling from New Jersey to New York. Like my dad took the subway in. And so it was just not as accessible in the city, trying to get like a whole family and like crammed into the train and like go into games. Like I definitely went to a couple, but honestly, I don't really remember them. The only like thing I remember about going to Madison Square Garden was like shooting on the basketball hoops, like the Knicks court one time. And like, that's like kind of like my only like light bulb memory, I guess, of Madison Square Garden. Was just shooting on the court one time. And but once we moved to Ohio and we lived 15 minutes from the arena, we just got our house and started going to more games. I said, that's definitely when the fandom kicked off. And I was just a huge fan off the jump. And I remember I was scared. I was scared the first game I ever went to. Cause like, I don't know, like it's not like this anymore, but like, dude, like the first fight at Nationwide Arena, dude, people were like chucking beer bottles and like throwing stuff. Like people didn't know like etiquette, I guess, like hockey etiquette. Like, dude, it was terrifying. And I remember, dude, I was like freaking out. And my mom's like, it's okay. It's okay. Like we're okay. But it was bad. And I remember like, they didn't know to like, not have lids on the cups, so like the lids got stuck to the ice and it took like 20 minutes to clean off the ice because people kept throwing shit on the ice and I was like losing my mind. So then, dude, it's funny because it was like, one, how do you not think of this? Like you're obviously like, take notes from other NHL teams, like don't put lids on your cups because they stick to the ice. Maybe they probably didn't think people were gonna throw them, but I just remember it was kind of a shit show. And then they stopped putting lids on cups. And then they were like, I remember there was like a huge like arena announcement. They're like, please do not throw items on the like my boy Greg Murray, man. He's like, attention, like, please don't throw shit on the ice when there's a fight. And it kind of calmed down after that. But I remember that first game, people just exploded. Like they had never like I don't know. This is probably a lot of people's first hockey game, honestly, but like it went nuts. And like, yeah, I just remember it was crazy. And then everyone kind of figured it out and then it was good from there. But I still loved it though. I was hyped like after the tears, but when the game got back on, I was like, all right, let's go, let's get it going. So no, crazy, then, crazy tangent story, but
no, I love it.
It was crazy.
And then, you know, with having a dad who works on the production side, you probably had a little bit of, you know, all access before games or after games to maybe interact with some of your favorite players or like, you know, I kind of have a similar story. Not my personal father, but my neighbor across the street who was the same age as me, his dad was the PA announcer for the Islanders.
Oh,
so
nice.
he was probably like the Greg
like
Murray.
Greg Murray, yeah.
So, you know, when we were younger in the 90s, we would come home from school and get off the bus and his dad would be waiting there like, all right, guys, we're going to the game. And
oh,
like,
that's awesome.
Yeah, we would be like in the press boxes and player, you know, like the suites or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we'd be kind of like bumping elbows with the players' families and players' kids and stuff like that. And we didn't really like realize how special that was at the moment.
Yeah.
But now when we look back, we're like, man, like that was like Pierre Turgeon's family. Like, this is kind of crazy. Like,
that was pretty sick. Yeah, no, definitely. Like, I remember a lot of times because working for the broadcasting portion of the team, like I just remember always going up to like the press boxes up on like the press level of the arena. And, you know, at the time, like always, like going in and talking to George Matthews, who was our original radio play-by-play, and then Billy Davidge, and just all the media personnel, and like knowing all of those guys, and like, I don't know, it's always cool. Like my dad always says, like the best people to work with are in hockey. Like they're all the nicest guys, and he's like, and it's 100% accurate. Like all these guys are so nice and they're so personable and like they're so polite, maybe because they're all Canadian, I don't know, but they're all great guys. And I just remember, yeah, going up there, meeting all of them, knowing them. Like we'd have like George Matthews over for, like for dinner and stuff all the time. Like he was a great friend of my dad, still is to this day, even when he moved back to PEI. But yeah, and then you know, you would see like guys who were scratched up there, and they're up there watching the games in their booth with whoever, like their coaches and stuff. And yeah. And then kind of later on in life, like more last couple years or so. So I went to school for like audio engineering. And so I started doing the visiting broadcasts for the away teams when they came to Nationwide, just like a handful of games every year. And kind of the same thing. So like I got to meet like all the visiting radio guys and work with them and like run their show, like their in-house engineer for their broadcasts. And you know, you're always seeing people up there. Like more recently, you know, like you'll always see like Jared Bowl before he's went down to the bench more recently, and like Rick Nash is always up there. And you know, anyone like kind of associated with the team, healthy scratch players, you see them just like grabbing popcorn and stuff. And so, yeah, no, I've been super lucky with all of that and have definitely bumped into some really cool people over the years.
So Rick Nash is still tied to the Blue Jackets?
Yeah. So when he came back, when he retired and he came back to Ohio, cause his wife's from Ohio, they met here when he played for the Jackets. Came back here and I guess it's just like Yarmo just reached out to him and was like, hey, like we still want you like involved with the organization if you like, you know, don't have any plans for retirement. And so he kind of got brought on as like a special assistant to the GM, I guess, because I guess that's kind of what he wanted to get into, was like a managerial type role in like the NHL, I guess, eventually. So he kind of, Yarmo just kind of like took him under his wing and gave him this like random position and tried to like train him and stuff just to be like a front office kind of guy. And He did that for a couple of years, and now he's, I don't remember his exact title. He's like head of like, is it like head of player development or something like that? I forget his like official title, but it's like him and a couple ex-players too. Like I know like Mark Letestu was doing that, but I think now he's coaching in Cleveland when we lost one of our coaches. And then someone else, I can't remember, but it's a few like ex-players, like Derek Dorsett. I think he was like doing that, or maybe, I don't know, I'm getting all confused, but all these like old ex-players and stuff, like it's just cool seeing like all of them come back and like still be involved with the team after retiring or like playing in other places. I mean, look at Rick Nash. He played for the Rangers. He played for Boston, like huge market teams. And he ended up coming back to Columbus because he just loved it so much. So I think, I don't know, it says a lot for our organization. And I don't know, I just thought it was really cool to have him back.
Now, would you say that Nash is like the Blue Jackets guy? Because, you know, like 20 years in,
yeah,
you know, I'm not a Blue Jackets fan, obviously. So like, I was trying to think like, who's like their, you know, the franchise guy? Who's the guy?
Who's the guy? And I'm like,
is that guy Nash now? Or is it like Bobrovsky or Panarin? Mm-hmm. Like I couldn't really wrap my head around like, who is the guy?
Yeah, no, I'd say Nasher for sure. I think he kind of drew so many eyes to the team when we were terrible and bad and just I won't get into all that because the whole expansion team formula and like all that goes into that now compared to what we got, the hands we got dealt back in the day are just never mind, I'm just gonna get mad talking about it.
but let's talk about that, because didn't Nashville come in like the same year or like the year
Minnesota
before? It was Minnesota.
Yeah, the Wild, yeah.
But Nashville wasn't too far, like, before.
Like, 97 or something like that, 96. Or, yeah, like a couple years before us in Minnesota. I don't know. Man, I just – the whole expansion process, and I get it. Like, I get it from, like, a financial standpoint. These teams, like Seattle, Vegas, like, they all paid a huge sum of money to join this league compared to what we paid back in the day. Obviously inflation and whatever, but it still was way more than either the Wild or the Jackets paid to enter the league. But as far as like setting a team up for success off the jump, like we got screwed. Like it was bad. And like, and then you look at Vegas and it's like, oh, first year, we might as well make it to the Stanley Cup final. Whatever, man. It's cool. Like, it's fine. It's like, it's just like, I don't know. Like, how they set it up, man, is just like, I don't want to say it's not fair, but it's just we were not put in a situation to succeed like all of these new teams have been. And like, I don't know. And then I think everyone learned from Vegas when Seattle, when that became a concept and they're like, hey, this team's coming. So then all these teams are able to prepare now because they're like, wow, we got screwed over when Vegas came. Cause like we couldn't protect enough players that we wanted to. And I think a lot of teams and GMs learn from that. And then now it's like Seattle's like, oh, they're like a normal expansion team. Now they're kind of like run, you know, middle of the road kind of draft. I think they kind of drafted more towards building towards the future rather than success right now, which was not Vegas, because they could, because all these great players were available to Vegas. So I don't know, but you know, when the average age of a player on your inaugural team is like 34, like you're not set up to succeed now or in the future, and we didn't. So that's I don't know, that's my two cents. But
you guys have had, you know, some kind of ebbs and flows, I guess, where you have had some pretty successful teams and,
yeah,
you know, you've had some superstars, but then you ship them off and don't really get much in return.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I don't know. And that's where the whole, like, no one wants to play in Columbus thing comes in, which I don't agree with, but I just think we've had the wrong kind of guys and like the wrong, like the type of guys that just either just want money and we just weren't going to pay him. Like, that's Bob. I have nothing against Bob. Bob was great for us. He was like one of the best goalies we ever had, if not the best. And it's just like, hey, man, we weren't going to pay you $10 million a year for 8 years. Like, that's just a dumb contract, in my opinion. Like, I don't know. We'll see if it pans out for Florida. It didn't the first year. He kind of tanked. Now he's kind of turning it back on. But, you know, it's just those, I don't know. I rarely do those, like, huge goalie contracts, I feel like, ever pan out.
Do you know who you're talking to? I'm an Islander fan. You ever hear Rick DiPietro?
Oh, no. So, too soon. Yeah, man. It's just like, I don't know. But like, and that's just like, that's why he left. You know, we weren't going to give him the money that he wanted. And I don't think anyone should have gave him that money. But, you know, Florida did it. Good. You know, I hope it works out for them, I guess. And, but like, you know, that's why he left. Brad wanted a garage, apparently. And because apparently there's no garages in Ohio, which I don't know if you heard that. Yeah, that was, dude, that was like a quote of his, of like, someone asked him, like, so why didn't you want to stay in Columbus or whatever? And he was just like, oh, I don't know. I just want a garage. Like, I'm tired of my car being covered in snow. And like, obviously he's joking, but like, no, he said that. No, I mean, everyone tried to keep Brad. Brad was the man. He was like my favorite player. Like, I was really hoping maybe he'd change his mind, but the whole time, I mean, you knew he was going to go. But, you know, if
you guys got him from Chicago for like nothing, right?
Yeah, for Saad, Brandon Saad. Yeah, it's like a 1-for-1. And which is like arguably the best trade. I mean, at least it panned out for 2 years because Brad was like our best player for 2 years. But yeah, no, that was a solid trade. And like, I don't know, man. And Brad, same thing. Well, Brad always had his mindset on New York. Like, he's wanted to play there forever. Like, Aaron Portsline did like a big, like a really nice article. He writes for The Athletic. I was like, follow all of his stuff. And like, he did like a one-on-one interview with Brett. Sorry, I'm checking on my dog. Make sure he's did like a one-on-one like interview with him. That was like really cool. And it was like his whole backstory. And like, if anything, it just made me respect Brett even more. Cause, you know, I grew up in like insane poverty, and like his grandparents raised him and like all this stuff. And like, he just grinded his whole way, like his whole life, just to like have a chance and like always succeeded. And like, I don't know. I respect Brett. Nothing against him. But like, you know, even he said, like, when you grow up in Russia, the only teams you know of are the Rangers and like Boston and like, I don't know, like Chicago, I guess. Like, those are like, but he was like the Rangers. Like, he was like, he always, like, ever since he was a little kid, he's like, I'm going to play for the Rangers someday. And it's like, when you manifest that at a young age and that's your motivation, and then you have a chance to like fulfill your dream and like your destiny, you know, like that, it's like, dude, you're gonna go to that team. And he can go anywhere he wanted. And, you know, I don't blame him for that. So that was just another unique scenario. PLD, a little different. Don't like PLD, but that's a different story.
Yeah. And it also seemed like, you know, when you guys had Tortorello running the ship, you know, he is a very, you know, traditional way of coaching, and a lot of those like new wave players didn't necessarily like playing for him. And that, I feel like that was part of the problem as well, is he was kind of a deciding factor.
He's old school, man. And like, I don't know, you talk to some of these guys and they're saying the league's getting too soft and some of these players, but I mean, you got to adapt to the times, I guess. So I don't know. I love Torts. Like, I thought Torts was a great coach for what we needed at the time. I thought he was the perfect fit, and we needed a culture change, and we needed a guy to just step in that like players actually like respected. And not saying they didn't respect our other coaches, but They just needed that kind of guy to just kind of take the realm and you know, steer everything in the right direction and get something going in Columbus. And like, he definitely did that. And I don't know, forever grateful for Torts. And I just always thought he was just a funny personality. And I don't know, always liked Torts. So, but yeah, as far as coaching style, I know he didn't mesh with everyone, and some of these guys couldn't handle the heat or the wrath that is John Tortorella. So,
yeah, basically, you got like the Florida Blue Jackets right now.
Yeah. Like, yeah. A lot of guys. Yeah. And it was like, it's like Florida. And then it was like New York. And like, we had all these guys like flip flopping guys with New York for a long time. And now I don't know, maybe it's because Billy Zito's down in Florida now. And like, maybe it's just a friendly face. And they're like, hey, trying to trade some guys. And they're like, sure, we'll take them. It's like, I know them. I already know everything about these guys. So I don't know, maybe that's why, but yeah, it is interesting how many guys have flipped between the two.
Yeah. So I guess let's first off, I guess blame the Blue Jackets for the dynasty that's developing down in Tampa Bay, because with every dynasty, there always has to be that one moment of like embarrassment. And that, what was it like for that playoff series when you guys like stunned the Tampa Bay Lightning?
Yeah, no, that was like the best Jackets moment of my life. Like nothing really else compares to that. I mean, and like same with my dad. You ask him what was the best moment, he's gonna say that, obviously. And like, yeah, no, that was like the coolest experience. Like I remember just talking to my friends, and you know, like all my friends are like Jackets fans, and I'm not saying they like come to me as like the hockey guy, but like I just remember one of my friends before the, we were all watching game one together. And I remember one of my friends like looked at me and was like, Trav, like, is there any chance that we beat these guys? And I was like, hell yeah. I was like, there's always a chance. I was like, no, nah. I was like, absolutely. I'm like, there's 100% a way we can win. I was like, I don't know if we're going to win the series, but I was like, we can definitely win some games. We can take some games if we just play well. You know, don't take too many penalties against the most lethal power play ever. Yeah, it was like, just play a good game. And no, we definitely have a chance. But I just remember how down everyone was. And then that first period, down 3-0. And then going into the first intermission, and everyone's just like, I don't know, man. And I'm just like, yeah, it's not looking good. But I was like, hey, there's a lot of game left to be played. Came back, won that game, and then I think that's what started it, man. I think that's what got in their heads, because I feel like Tampa was just like, oh, we can just coast. Like, we're just going to coast the rest of this way. Like, we just dropped 3 in the first, easy. Like, we were not getting, like, any chances. Like, puck possession, we had none. Like, it was just such a one. The ice was completely tilted that first period. We didn't have anything going for us. And then slowly but surely, just start chipping away, man, coming back. Get that dub. And then, yeah, I think that's what got them snake bit. Like I just feel like they thought they had it in the bag, and we kind of came up and surprised them. And then I think we were just in their head after that, because those other games, I mean, like, I forget two of those games, I think were kind of close, like 1 or 2 goal games or something. But yeah, no, beating them and the way we did it. And it was, I don't know. I think that was like the first moment where people were like, man, I'm like proud to be like a fan of this team, you know? And it's like, I feel like a lot of people didn't really have like a big moment like that. And like that got that much national attention. And like, it was just like, I don't know, it was just a really cool moment for Jackets fans. And, you know, they waited a long time just to like see any form of success like that. So yeah, it's our first playoff series win. So as a huge moment. So yeah, no. It'll forever live on as a top moment for sure. Hopefully there will be more playoff wins in the future, but that first one was awesome.
Yeah, dude, I totally can relate. You know, when the Islanders had their first playoff series win in like 15 years, that was like the first one that I like as an adult like really understood the game of hockey and everything. Yeah. And I was just like, holy cow, like this is what it feels like, huh? This is what it feels like. And then, you know, luckily the Islanders the past 2 years have gone on some pretty deep runs. So like even getting to the Eastern Conference Final, like that was a huge accomplishment. And like I do these things called Isles meetups where we actually like go to bars here in Charlotte, North Carolina, and watch Islander games. And like even the grind of just getting together every game was like taking a toll on me by like going to the Eastern Conference Final. I was like,
yeah,
I don't know if I could do this for the Stanley Cup Final, like right. Go to a bar every single game.
Yeah, no, for sure. Dude, I can only imagine, man. I said I was like, I was so hyped after just the one playoff win, but to get that far, I know I can only imagine. I'm sure it was an awesome feeling, but you know you're into it though. You're gonna be at that bar watching these games, man.
Yeah, there was no way I wasn't at that point.
Yeah, no, for sure. But that's awesome, man. Maybe someday.
Hey, I'm hoping once in my lifetime. Not looking so great right now, but
and neither are we. So
you guys were hanging in there though, right?
Like this year,
but as of late, not so much. But you know, you guys started pretty decent.
Yeah, no, I think everyone thought we were going to be like bottom three in the league this year, like just absolutely awful. I didn't think that personally. I was like, you know, new coach. I feel like we had a lot of guys that kind of struggled under Torts, you know, last year, and kind of just couldn't figure it out. And like everyone couldn't get on the same page, and, you know, like Line A and Max Domi. And I just feel like, you know, new voice in the room. And I was not team Brad Larson at first. I will admit that. But he is like grown on, he's like 1000% grown on me. Like now I think he's like a good fit. The one redeeming thing about Brad was that like the players wanted Brad. They wanted him as the coach. And I think that's like if that's the case, like if you find a guy that players want to play for and they're vocal about like, hey, like it should be him, then you've already won that battle. Like you need a coach that players want to play for, and like they are hand picking this guy and he's like, it's time, like make him the head coach. And then, so that was kind of like the redeeming factor, I guess, when Brad was announced as the head coach. I was just like, okay, well that's good. Cause I feel like a lot of guys didn't want to play for Torts. Or at least they just didn't get along with him. So I was like, so that's already out of the way. And they all like Brad. But then, I'm sorry. I'm getting off track. I forget where I was going with that. But,
do you think that the Blue Jackets hang in the rest of the season and make like a fight for that wild card?
Maybe. We're so bad on the road. Like we just like can't win on the road. And I obviously like our team, we're the youngest team in the league. Which is, it feels like we're always the youngest team in the league. And it's like, you know, you're going to have ebbs and flows with your season. It's like these guys, I mean, Cole Sillinger's 18 years old and he's like a center in the NHL and he's like a consistent starter. Like he hasn't been out of the lineup yet. It's just like, it's going to happen with young guys. And, you know, we still have some like good veteran leaders in that room, but the core, you know, as a whole, our team's just so young. So it's just like the getting consistency, I feel like that just takes time and you got to play in the league for a while to kind of get that going. But I don't know. I hope we can make a push, but I don't know. I don't know if it's going to pan out. I just think our team's just so young and, you know, I think the next couple years are going to be really good for us though. You know, cause like some of our top prospects like aren't even here yet in the next couple years. You know, we got Kent Johnson, who's like an absolute stud for Michigan right now. I'm excited to watch him on, in the World Juniors for Team Canada. Everyone's comparing him to like the Trevor Zegras of Canada for this World Juniors. So like that's exciting. And like, you know, he's on that stacked Michigan team with all those first round draft picks and he's like leading the team in points and he's like fourth or something in the NCAA in points, in like arguably probably the best division, the Big Ten. So yeah, no, excited for him. Marchenko in Russia, like that kid's like a living highlight reel over there. So I don't know. I think the future is going to be, I'm saying like the next, like in like like 2 to 3 years, I think Jackets will be like playoff contending team for, you know, the next, you know, kind of like what we had before, like the four consecutive playoff appearances. And like, I could really see that happening, like starting in like the next like 2-3 years when we get all these guys in, like all these top prospects and get some guys more years of experience. And, you know, I think it'll be solid this year. I just hope we can fight, you know, I just hope we can battle and just not get blown out so bad on the road. But at home, we're solid. Like, I don't know what our record is now. I think we were like 10-4 or something, or 10-3 or 11-3, or I don't remember. We're something like that.
We're not stats guys.
Yeah, I'm not a stat guy, man. But yeah, no, like solid at home, just can't figure it out on the road for whatever reason. So I don't know. It's tough when half your games are on the road. So it's gonna catch up to you eventually.
They just must love that cannon. They just,
oh yeah. The cannon.
I'm sure you guys like appreciate it, but
oh yeah.
Fans of other teams absolutely despise that thing.
Oh yeah. It's like the most like insult to injury, like like
it thing sure of all is.
Time. No, it is. It's like, I don't know. I love watching like, you'll get like the random like compilation videos of like players that like forget about it, and they're like pregame skating around, and like there's like a good one of like Johnny Gaudreau, and he's like skating and it goes off and he's just like, what the fuck? He's like like he's like forgot, dude. Well, going back to like when I'm working these radio broadcasts, when all these away radio guys come in, you know, a lot of them still forget about it. So I'm like, sometimes I'll be nice if I like them, and then I'll just be like, hey, cannon come incoming, you know, just like in the pregame, because everyone forgets about the pregame one. But yeah, it's just, I always thought that was hilarious because so many of those guys forget about it, and they're like, and we're live here in Nationwide Arena, and they're like, oh my God, he's like, it gets me every time. And like, oh, I always forget about that dang cannon. You know, it's hilarious because like all these guys always forget, but the reaction's hilarious. But yeah, definitely away teams probably absolutely hate it. Of course we love it, you know, and the cannon is like our own Tom Wilson. Like, in a sense, everyone hates him except for when he's on your team. And that's it.
Or when they do like a mascot, or like, wasn't there like a mascot or a like a,
the even oh, maybe, Boomer
that looked like a penis.
Yeah. Boomer. Yeah, dude, that lasted like a week. If not, like if that, yeah, no, that was that was kind of an epic fail, but yeah, I don't know who signed off on that. Like, I'm not sure, but yeah.
Like, how do you not look at that thing in two like, seconds? Be like, yo, that looks like a penis.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Boomer will forever live in infamy. And, but it's, I don't know. It's always funny. It's like, I like how like they'll like bring it back kind of like as a meme. And like, obviously the fan base will always like bring it back and just whatever. And it's always funny. Like, it's cool he's not here anymore, but he will never be forgotten. You know, it's, I think every team has one of those, man. Well, you're the Islanders guy, man, Gordon Fisherman, you know. See,
but you know, what's so funny is that like people my age who are in their 30s and like even younger, absolutely love that jersey and love that logo.
I liked it, man. I thought it was cool, man. I was hoping they'd bring it back for the reverse retros.
Dude, the Dynasty era Islander fans lose their damn minds over that logo.
Oh, I know. Yeah, for sure.
Lose it.
Yeah, dude. Just no, I believe it. Dude, they yeah, man. No, but I always thought it was cool. Like, I always thought the colors were cool, and like just those jerseys in general were pretty sweet. I know like it was probably a split fan base, like, but I don't know. I was hoping the reverse retros, maybe they'd like at least use the colors, you know, or something like incorporated in there, but I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you got Lou Lamoriello running the ship here, so.
Oh yeah.
We have probably, no fun.
Yeah, there you go.
No fun.
That's fair.
Well, dude, I could talk hockey forever, but I do want to talk some No Dice. So sure. Before we do talk some music, I do have to just read a quick ad from our sponsors.
Get it.
So, football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game, but with the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once a single point scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. It's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you can still get in on the NFL action. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all seasons long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. DraftKings has given all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code THPN. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whew. Sounds like a good deal.
It is a good deal. Use that promo code THPN. Usually Tom does that. So, Tom, if you're listening, I hate you, but I got it done.
You crushed that ad read, dude.
He usually does it in like a cool voice, and we could have made him do like, I don't know, a Panarin voice to do the whole ad read.
Nice.
It would have been way better than I did, but
no, you killed it, man.
We're hanging in there. But Travis, I do want to talk a bunch about No Dice because you guys showed up on like my Spotify. Like, I think I was like done listening to, I'm not sure if you know the band Jail Sox, but I was like listening to Jail Sox and their album ended. And then like Spotify will just like feed you a suggested artist.
The algorithm.
Yeah. The algorithm, baby. And they fed me a No Dice song. And I was just like, who the hell are these guys? And then like, this is what I always do is I go to their page. I listen to all your stuff. And then I'm like, all right, let me go to their Instagram. Go to your Instagram, and then sure enough, I see you guys rocking Blue Jacket shit, and I'm like, get them on.
Yeah, there it is, man. There
that's,
it is.
That's how Bar Down Breakdown works in awesome. My crazy head. But I got tons of like This Day and Age vibes, tons of like Turnover vibes, and that's right in our wheelhouse. So I guess let's talk about some of the like influences you guys have, because I'm sure there's got to be some Turnover influences in there.
Oh yeah, dude. I love Turnover. Turnover's great. The Peripheral Vision was like my favorite album for many years. Still is. Still in, probably the top 10 probably to this day. It's like, it's interesting. Cause like all of us, we have similar interests. I think some of our influences like combined, there's certain bands that we all like. But at the same time, there's like a lot of, we kind of all branch out into our own different ways, but, influences, I don't know. It's crazy. Cause like, I think our sounds change so much, like from where we started to kind of where we're at now. So probably like back in the day, you know, I like Fall Out Boy was like my favorite band growing up. You know, obviously like a big like Blink fan and Green Day and like all the classic guys and stuff. And, but yeah, no, it's, I would say, yeah, starting out probably that. And then kind of when we started the band and we were kind of like trying to figure out like a sound to go for, you know, like The Story So Far was getting huge and like Knuckle Puck and like all these other bands. And we were kind of like, oh, like this is like the new age pop punk. And I feel like those were pretty heavy influences. So we kind of try to like take our old classic bands that we liked, you know, we love growing up, and then kind of this mix it, fuse it with this new sound in a sense. And then that's just kind of where we started out. And then over time, kind of just like discovering new bands like Turnover and, you know, and kind of finding a way to mesh that in as well. So it's just a big old melting pot. And whenever we find a new band, just try and somehow incorporate an element or take something that we like from each of those bands and kind of just fuse it all together. And it's, I feel like that's kind of the main reason why our sounds change so much over the years.
So you guys have been kicking since like what, 2017, 2016?
Our first EP came out in 2015. So that was like our first, I would say, like real release, I guess. That was The Words You Never Said. That was like a 5-song EP, maybe 6 songs. I don't remember. But that was 2015. So I think that's kind of when we released that, and we were like, okay, let's like try and make a push at this, for as long as we can. And so, yeah, I'd say probably like the start was probably 2015 with that release.
Cool. Yeah, I guess like I feel like you guys are a little mysterious because like a lot of times I'll go to like a band's like socials and you guys don't post too often. So like it's kind of funny how a band that gets like 50,000 monthly streams isn't really like posting every single day. It, like, yeah. you know, like some of the bands that are at that same level right now, they're like got like people that's their main focus is just like doing social media content like daily. Oh, yeah. And you guys are kind of just like coasting and still like growing every single year.
Yeah, I'm kind of under the radar, I guess. I just don't like social media. And like none of us really do. So like when it came down to like, hey, let's like, who wants to be the social media guy? Everyone's just like nose goes for that. Like no one wanted to do it. And I don't know. Yeah, we definitely should be better than we are. And then at the same time, it's like, I feel like we get more active when obviously there's like new things coming out. So if anything, it's just, I don't know, maybe that's like our social media approach is like, hey, they're doing something like they posted for the first time in 4 months. It's like, oh, maybe something's coming out soon, you know? So I don't know. Maybe that's just our unintentional way to like get people hyped, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, I think, yeah, definitely should be better at that. I don't know. We've been doing this for so long. It's just like, and none of us are huge social media guys. Like I wouldn't have any socials if it wasn't for the band. I'd probably just delete everything. Cause it's just not my jam and I just don't like it. But, yeah, but it's funny you bring that up. Cause yeah, I don't know. I don't know where or how people find us or listen to us and stuff, but it, you know, obviously we really appreciate everyone who listens to us and it means a lot to us. And I definitely should probably do a better job at reaching out more and being more of a presence, but I guess just know that you are appreciated even if I'm not posting selfies.
But I feel like that's a huge testament to the music because, yeah, like, you know, some bands are just like so good at social that they blow up because of that. The music doesn't really back it up. But you guys like are doing the opposite where you're like, yeah, we'll put stuff up when we got something to talk about.
Yeah.
However, like without even really having to scroll on your band's page, I was able to find like the last three Spotify raps.
Mm. Oh yeah, they're probably like wedged next to each other.
Yeah, like they're pretty much like right next to each other.
Yeah.
And you could see that like from, you know, 3 years ago, you were getting like 700,000 monthly listeners. Then it was like 1.1. Now it's like 1.6. And it's like you guys got 500,000 more listeners in this past year. And you guys aren't really even so like active on the socials. And it's like that's wild, man.
Yeah, I mean,
and not even really like too much new music either.
Yeah, yeah, which is something I'm trying to improve upon in the coming year. I've just been sitting on stuff for way too long, and it's just, I don't know, man. It's just a life gets in the way kind of thing, and you know, we're getting older, and it's just it's not as easy to just find time to get stuff done. But I'm trying, yeah, definitely. Trying to get more consistent, I guess, with all of that. But no, yeah, I appreciate it. I guess I never really like thought about that before, like, you know, the whole like social media dynamic into growing fans and what's more important, your social media approach or your actual music. I mean, I don't know. You could definitely be a band that has really good music with a solid social media approach or vice versa. But yeah, no. Yeah, I don't know, man. We're just fortunate, and like I think our biggest jump was when we did our covers with Bill Murray, and I think that's kind of what kind of steered us in the right direction. And that's always been like that was a huge thing for us, getting with Johnny and doing those covers. And that's like I feel like that was kind of like our first like successful moment as a band was just doing those songs. Cause I remember when we recorded those and we're like, you know, these are cool, but we, you know, I don't even know. Like, I think our song with the most plays before releasing that, that split EP was like 50,000 streams or something. Like, that was like our highest played song. Cause we got lucky and got on one of those like Spotify playlists, which I didn't even like know was a thing. And then one of my buddies was like, "Hey, you submit this for playlist." And I'm like, "What is that?" And he's like, "Oh, don't worry. Like, I'll do it." And I was like, "Thanks." And, we just got super lucky. It's like, it's, I don't know. Someone at Spotify, like, is our friend, and I don't know who it is. But they've hooked us up like so many times. Like, I've had people like be like, "Dude, how do you get on it?" I'm like, "I have no idea. I have no clue, dude. I have no idea why or how or whatever." But yeah, someone out there is like rooting for us. So whoever you are, mysterious Spotify playlist curator, like, I love you. I love you. Thank you. But yeah, hopefully one day we'll meet and I can like hug you or something. But yeah, no, I have no idea. So yeah, we've just honestly just gotten lucky in a sense with like all of that. And then, like I said, doing those covers, and we'd never done cover songs before. And Johnny, like, Johnny was just like, the whole time, he's like, "Man," he's like, "these are going to pop off, man. These are going to pop off." And we're just like, "Whatever you say, man." We're just like, you know, we'll go with it. He's just like, but he was so confident about it. He's like, "No, these are sweet. Like, these are really cool. They're going to do well." And like, we're just like, "All right, man. Like, we got nothing to lose." Yeah. And then release them. And like, he was right, man. It's just like, they just did so well. I don't even think they like got on any playlists or anything. Like, I mean, Bill Murray has like such a big fan base, now, and even back when we released that. So, I think just Murray Nation kind of rallied behind it. And then a lot of people just found out who we were from that. And it was just like really good publicity. And like, then obviously, yeah, the songs, they did really well and they still do pretty well. So yeah, that was probably, I would say that was like the biggest turning point for us. And what led to a lot of these numbers now.
So how did you link up with Bill Murray? Because I had no idea who or what they were. And I was like, yeah, that's a funny name. Like, Bill Murray, like, it's a play on words. Like, that's cool. And
yeah.
And then I was like, wait, this is like an actual person. Like, this is like, I'm guessing kind of like in the nothing nowhere kind of Little Lotus kind of pop, like new pop punk, I guess you would call it.
I don't even know. I don't even know if Johnny knows what genre Murray is, but yeah, no, Johnny's from Columbus. Cause he's like, you know, he was in Attack, all his dudes are from Columbus, and he, you know, just lived here his whole life. And so we just kind of, I met him from, our drummer and our guitarist at one point, both them played in Bill Murray for a hot second. And we got, you know, linked with him kind of in that way. And yeah, just, I don't know. We just met and he was just like, nice guy. And we, you know, just kind of became friends from that. And then he brought up the whole, you know, covers thing. And he was just like, you know, and like, he's just a really great like producer, songwriter too, but like his production is like really great. And like, for what he's able to do with what he has is like, honestly, pretty remarkable. And, he was, but yeah, like you said, brought up the concept for the covers. And he's just like, "You pick two, we'll pick two, and then just release it and I'll produce it. And, you know, we'll just see how they do." And yeah, so that's just honestly just being in Columbus and like kind of just the music scene here and, having like the similar members. That's how we got linked up with him to start out. And that's how I met Johnny.
Cool. So let's talk about that Columbus scene, because, you know, I'm guessing that Cleveland is probably the more popular Ohio market. And but then at the same time, like, isn't Columbus where Alternative Press's headquarters are, or is it Cleveland where they are?
I think they're in Cleveland.
Okay. So yeah, I'm just, you know, I was looking on your Facebook page and I saw that like when like the bands come through the Columbus area, it seems like you guys are fortunate enough to hop on as like local support. And I also noticed that at one point Bill Murray was opening for you guys on one of these tours, and now I'm sure it would be pretty sweet if he like let you guys go out on tour with him.
Yeah, Murray's popped off, man. We've been like super fortunate, and like a lot of that is like John Roush, and he works for Bravo Artist, and we've known John forever. Like, it kind of feels like we kind of like both grew up, like kind of grew within the Columbus music scene kind of similarly. Like, we were kind of a new band and he was a new promoter, and just over the years he's just, you know, hooked us up with some really cool shows. And that was just kind of how that all went down, and we've just been super fortunate to get on some really, really cool shows in Columbus. So yeah, that's a lot of kudos to John. So that's pretty much how that all went down. So
definitely a good friend to have, right? Being friends with the local promoter.
Oh, absolutely.
So do you guys hit the road often, or now that you guys are, you know, in your late 20s and probably have your standard 9-to-5, I'm sure that touring and hitting the road for an extended period of time might be a little tough.
Yeah, it's not really in the cards as much anymore. I mean, we did some tours and stuff, like just kind of like weekenders. We went out for like a week or more, a handful of times over the years. We try to do the touring thing, like the touring life, as long as we could. I don't know, touring, it's a love hate kind of thing, you know. It's like, yeah, it's always fun to go out and play shows and meet new people, and like, I'm super thankful for all of those experiences, and they will be like some of my fondest memories. I kind of like what you said, it's just kind of getting older. We actually it actually timed out pretty well, but we sold our van a month before COVID happened. So we were like, okay, well, this worked out in the end. Like, this honestly like really worked out. Cause I don't know if we would have even been able to, you know, sell the van during COVID, but our van was just a piece of crap. And we were just like, I don't know, we were just tired of like putting money into fixing it. We're like, you know, like, if we're going to do this and like go on the road again, we need a more reliable vehicle. So we're like, let's just sell this. We'll bank it. And then if we ever go on the road, maybe we'll like rent a van and stuff like that. So we're like, let's just sell it. So yeah, sold it like in February of 2020. And then we all know how March went. So yeah. So really a blessing in disguise, because we would have been paying insurance on this thing and couldn't use it for basically till almost to today, you know. It's like, yeah. So it was we kind of lucked out with all of that. So yeah.
Cool. So I guess let's talk like No Dice in the rest of 21 and 20 and going into 2022. Like, are there any plans? You mentioned that you're sitting on a bunch of music. Are you going to put it out under the No Dice name, or are you going to put it out under something else, or?
Yeah, I'm not really.
What's the plans?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I mean, yeah, I feel like all the songs that are done that we have, well, that are pretty much all done. I probably would just release those as No Dice songs, because they are No Dice songs. You know, like me and, you know, Goddard and, you know, other guys, like we all worked on these songs, and it's like they are our songs, in my opinion. My biggest thing is like, I really want to like just do everything myself, you know, like just like the total DIY approach. Cause I feel like that's the only way I'll like actually get things out consistently. Cause when you're not worried about financials and recording and having everything, you know, I feel like doing studio time, it's like you don't have any like time really to experiment with stuff. And if you can just have the luxury of doing things yourself and somehow like, you know, it's tough because obviously you want like the best quality possible and stuff, but I don't know. I'm kind of getting off the rails here, but I feel like doing everything yourself equals complete creative freedom. And we've never gotten to that point or never had the luxury of doing that. So that's something I want to strive for, because I feel like that's the only way we're going to like get things out as consistently as I've always wanted to do it without any, like I said, any restrictions or anything. And like I look at kind of like what Citizen's doing now, because like I know, like, what is it, Matt Caracas, is that how you say his last name?
Caracas,
whatever, the singer, the lead singer for Citizen. Like, I know, like, they started recording all their own stuff, and I was just like, man, that's super cool. And you know, obviously, like, and like that last album they put out was sweet. And I don't know, it's like they found a way to do it, and it's just like, I don't know, I think that's like a good inspiration for kind of like what I want to do, in a sense. And just kind of, and hearing him talk about doing that and being able to do that and like the benefits that it has is just like even more of a testament to like why I find it so appealing. Kind of like the reasons I said before, you know, you just got more time to experiment things and make things as perfect as you want it to be. And you have time to experiment and try new things. So that's definitely my goal, is to do everything, maybe not 100% all in-house, because I'm still like, you know, we're still gonna need like album art and stuff, and I do not have an eye for that and I don't know how to use Photoshop. But you know, as much as I can musically do on my own, that's like my number one biggest goal. And I think once, if that is ever achieved, then we will release music much more consistently. And that's my goal kind of moving forward. And I'm have started to try and do that slowly throughout all of our different projects. Like Peter Riffin, that was I don't know if that was the first song, but I think it was the first song. That was the first song, like, I tracked everything myself, and then we sent it to get mixed from Will, shout out Will Carlson. And so it's like we've slowly kind of, I'm slowly trying to get do more things on the production side. And I feel like that was like a good way of kind of easing into that. Cause I was like, I don't know, I'm always in my own head. I'm like, I don't think this is going to be good enough. And like, I don't trust myself to record all this stuff. And then I was just like, fuck it, I'm just doing it. Like, I got to try. And And then that was Peter Riffin. So like all of those, like all of that stuff, like I tracked pretty much here on this computer. So and then I thought that turned out really well. Obviously it was mixed really well too, but and a lot of credit goes to that. But like I said, I'm slowly trying to get there.
Okay. So can we say new music in 2022?
I would say a strong maybe. A strong maybe. It's gonna come down to like whether I feel like it's up to snuff or not. And if not, then I'll probably just hit up Will again. But I just want to take some time to like really try and get better at it. And I don't know, it's my own personal journey and struggle trying to do this. But like I said, I feel like if I can somehow crack the code in a sense and just get it good enough, you know, to feel good about it and stuff, then that's the dream, you know.
I love it, man. I love both sides. I love the DIY, and then I also love it when like bands go from DIY and then get signed and then have the label support. So honestly, I just love both sides. So yeah, kudos to you for trying to take on that endeavor, because I know like the mixing and mastering process can be grueling.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, it's hard to do, man. And like, I don't know. I'm lucky because I feel like I definitely have people I can like reach out to and ask, you know, ask for, you know, opinions and questions and stuff like that. So that's also crucial and big. That's a lot of help to have. So I'm really lucky in that sense. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But I definitely want to get songs out relatively soon. 1000%.
Hell yeah. And I guess I'll leave us with one kind of hockey mixed music question. You know, with your dad being on the production side and you even being on a little bit of the production side for the Blue Jackets, have you ever tried to mix in a No Dice song into any of the like segments or anything like that?
It's like funny you bring that up. I don't think I'll get him in trouble, but so one time, this was like years ago. This is like probably like, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. And I forget, one of my friends like texted me and was like, dude, are you listening to the radio broadcast? And I was like, no. And he was like, I swear your song played like coming back from break. And I was like, I don't know. I was like, nah, it's probably not us. There's no way. And then I texted my dad and I was just like, hey, like, did you like throw a No Dice song or whatever? And he was just like, I might have put one in there. Just like one with like a good intro, you know? Yeah. So I think it was like Spoiler Alert or something. It was like, you know, the first 30 seconds or whatever don't have any vocal or whatever, and it's kind of a cool intro. So yeah, I'm pretty sure he like threw that one in. I don't know if they still use that for anything, but I know it was kind of tossed into the mix of all their intro stuff. I've been pretty lucky with like all of that. And like my sister, shouts out to Sarah, she is like, she works at the Hilton in Cleveland. And actually, Peter Riffin is like their hold music at the hotel. So if you call, I said you could do it right now, man.
I could do that. Dude. Like, if I wish I had the capabilities to call the Hilton right now on this podcast.
Just call the Hilton Cleveland downtown and just be like, hey, this is a weird request. Just put me on hold. And then, yeah. And then, dude, it will just start popping up. So yeah, it's like, I don't know. So, you know, we definitely, the family is, have always been on board. So, and like, she was like, I hate, you know, our old hold music was pretty boring. So it'd be cool. And, you know, it's like, they're Cleveland, they're right across from like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So, you know, she's like talking to her boss and stuff. So wouldn't it be cool to like have like a local, you know, we're not from Cleveland, but, you know, local artists be like, you know, hold music instead of this like generic jazz that we're using now, you know, to go with the, like, you know, the music and the rock and roll, the Hall of Fame, whatever. And yeah, they were just like, yeah, sure, that'd be great. So yeah, so I like mixed together like a 3-song, like, I forget, it's like a 10-minute bed of food or food, what am I saying, of music. And I was like, with I like recorded like you're listening to, I was like, that was Peter Riffin by No Dice. Check us out on Spotify, Instagram, Apple Music, and more. Like,
dude, so maybe like, that's why your monthly streams are so high. It's all because of that damn Hilton in Cleveland.
Dude, it's funny. Like, I don't know. It's been the whole music for a while, and like different songs. Like, if we release a song I think's better for it, I'll be like, hey, can I update it and put this as the new one? But it's like, I don't know how many people actually like look it up afterwards, but like I have seen one time one person on like a YouTube commented that he was like, I heard this as the whole music, and I screenshot it and sent it to my sister. And I was like, look at this. I was like, oh, someone did it. Like, someone looked it up. So we got one person out of, I don't know how many people get put on hold every day, but at least one person looked us up after that. So that's a win. That's a win in my book. So
hell yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And it, who knows, man, if you would have like start playing shows in the Cleveland area a bunch, you might have a whole fan base It'll of people like, just coming up.
Is this the old music?
This is the old music guy.
I know I've heard this song, man. I was on hold for 20 minutes and I heard like three of these songs like five times, man.
Oh, that's so good.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. That's nah. Great. Yeah. They, well, it's cool. Cause like so many like sick people stay at her hotel, you know, like they just had the, you know, the, what was it? It was like some like induction, like the Hall of Fame inductions or something like, and like, I don't know who was staying at the hotel, but like, you just know. And she's not, she doesn't say like, she doesn't tell me anything, but it's like, it's a nice hotel. It's like one of the nicest hotels of Cleveland. Like, you know, some of these cool people are going to be staying there. So it's like, I always think like, it's cool. Like, you never know like who's going to hear it or, you know, and like call for whatever reason. But it's just like, I just remember when I saw like the people there and I'm just like, please come on, like Dave Grohl, stay at the hotel and order room service or something. I'm like, please, man, please. I was like, just listen to it. I don't know. I wouldn't even care if he like said anything, but just like the thought of having known that Dave Grohl heard a poor, like at least 20 seconds of one of our songs would have been sweet. But that's just my, my fantasy here. So,
hey, I think it happened. I think David Grohl was ordering room service, and I think he did listen. So
he caught that.
You should hit him up and be like, "Yo, remember that time you stayed in Cleveland?
Hey, did you ever by chance stay at the Hilton and order food?" Yeah,
oh, man.
Yeah, that'd be cool. So I don't know. It's fun to dream.
I'm going to say that this story goes up there with like hearing some of our like guests talk about playing the Winter Classic. I feel like this is up there.
Oh, like, no way.
This is great, man.
Dude, who played the Winter Classic?
Oh, this is great though. I love it.
Dude, that's awesome, man. I want to play the Winter Classic. That'd be sick.
Will Columbus ever get the Winter Classic?
Oh man, have you seen that? Have you seen like all the stuff that came out about that?
No.
Okay, so a couple of our players went to like the NHL headquarters in New York and literally asked Bettman like, when are we going to get a Winter Classic? And he said something like about how they have tried to, you know, do it at the Shoe. And I guess Ohio State said something like they can't have a hockey game because the stadium isn't like the plumbing isn't like winterized or something. And that's like why they can't do it. And I'm just like, dude, you play football in the winter. Like it's like later in the season, like there's some cold football games played in that stadium. Like, what are you talking about? So it was kind of like, oh man, people like that, like blew up. Like people were pissed because they were like, that's like not even a real thing. Like that's like such like a made up excuse. So I don't know, man. Controversy. I think OSU is they're not on board, and I don't know if it's ever gonna happen because it sounds like
doesn't make any damn sense. Because
yeah,
this last one was just at Lake Tahoe, like at like a ski resort. You tell me that place had like the correct equipment to put a rink in.
I don't know, man, but they said, yeah, the bathrooms are not equipped for winter weather, so a hockey game can't be played during the winter in the stadium. Sounds like a load of malarkey to me, but
it sounds like Ohio State's living up on their hill and they don't care about
anything
other than Ohio State.
I know, and like I've always heard rumors like of that, and like everyone's like, you know, like, you know, why can't we do it? And everyone's, you know, people would be like, it's because Ohio State doesn't want to do it and they're not on board with it and they don't.
Is that the only option?
I mean, it's not the only option. I mean, a lot of people are thinking too, like maybe now, like maybe trying to do it at like the Crew Stadium. Like, I don't know if they do it at the new one, but like now we have the, you know, the old stadium there, and that's not really, I think it's like turned into like a practice facility now or something. I don't know what the plans are for that, but you know, maybe we could do it at the Crew Stadium. I mean, it's like, you know, it's got like the open thing on the top, and
maybe it's not enough. Like maybe it's only like 50,000. How many people can that one hold?
Yes, that's the other thing too. I mean, yeah, it's not even close to the shoe, but yeah, I don't know what max capacity at the lower.com field is.
What is it? Lower.com?
Lower.com field. That
what
is the
hell is that?
It's like a lender, mortgage lender company. Like,
okay.
Yeah, people, if you need a I guess here's my plug for lower.com. That's all they get you, man. Dude, yeah. So I don't know. First time home lender, go to lower.com, I guess. But yeah, so that's what that's what it is. Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe that could be a thing. Maybe they could do that because I don't know. I feel like the crew and the Jackets have like a pretty solid relationship with each other. So maybe their plumbing is winterized and they could do it there. It's a brand new stadium. You'd hope so. So I don't know.
And then no Dice can play the intermission.
See, that would be cool.
See, we got it right here. We planned it all out.
You're going to go with no Dice or Beartooth. Your choice, guys. it's like, you know, no Dice or 21 Pilots. Which one do you, which one will get more people there? I don't know. Maybe we'll be on like a side stage down the block or something. You know, I'd take that. So, yeah.
We could dream.
Yeah, fingers crossed, man. Hopefully one day. Maybe we'll do it somewhere else, you know. Maybe we'll be the away team and they'll do it. And maybe U of M will be more, you know, lenient towards that. And the Detroit Jackets game will take place at the Big House, you know. Maybe that's
so
possible.
I don't even know. Is Detroit like your rival?
I would say Pittsburgh more than anything. Okay. But I don't know. I feel like that would just get more people to go. Just the OSU Michigan rivalry and getting the Ohio Michigan hockey teams against each other and be like its own little, you know, hockey's take on the rivalry. I just feel like that would just sell better, in my opinion. But I mean, even a Pittsburgh Jackets game somewhere. I mean, that would be sick. I don't know where that would be either, but. Yeah, man. Hopefully one day we'll get lucky, man. I don't know.
I'm hoping for the Islanders too. Like we had one of those like stadium series ones.
Yeah.
Which were like, they're kind of like the Heritage Classic. Like unless you're in Canada, no one watches the Heritage Classic ones. And like, unless you're in New York, no one watched those stadium series games. So like, I feel like we were kind of robbed of an outdoor game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like, and that's like same with the Jackets too, man. Like we were supposed to play, in Finland this year against Colorado, and then you know COVID and that all got canceled, and so we're like, dang, like the one time the Jackets get something cool, it's like we can't, it doesn't work out. So, yeah, because like we had a really weird plot in our schedule like last month because we were like in the East Coast and then like flew out to Colorado and played one game and then flew back and like played Buffalo like 2 days later. Like it was just like this random one-off all the way in Colorado because it was supposed to be played in Finland. So then we came back, they came back after that game and had like 5 days off, and like it was just like this huge random gap in the schedule because that Finland game got canceled. So like that would have been cool. And like, we have so many Finnish guys on our team, you know, like Patrick Laine, I mean, or Jarmo or GM's Finnish, Korpi, like, I don't know. I think that would have been pretty cool, for them to go over there. I feel like they would have, drawn a lot of people because Laine is like a freaking rock star over there. Like him and Barkov are like A-list celebrities over there. So it's like, I feel like that would have been pretty cool for him. So I don't know, maybe they'll reschedule and get back over in Finland.
Yeah, hopefully that'd be pretty cool. As long as it's not like at 6 a.m. or like 3 in the morning or whatever, like a weird time no one watches it.
Yeah, hope maybe it'll be like a noon game there, which is like, I don't know even what time that is here, but I don't know. Yeah, they'll have to plan that out so people here can watch it. But yeah, man. Fingers crossed for your Isles too, man.
Yeah,
get something cool.
They gotta turn this season around too. We'll see. Not looking good, but as long as we can, you know, keep everyone safe, it's not looking so great right now with the NHL.
Yeah, it's like every league, man. Like all the, it seems like it all just came. You know, when it rains, it pours, kind of a thing. You know, like it's like, man, look at the Browns right now. I mean, that game got pushed back 2 days because over 20 guys on their roster had COVID, or I don't know if they all tested positive or they were, you know, positive with exposures and stuff. And so that game, I know that was supposed to be tonight, and then that got pushed back to Monday. I don't know if that's going to make any difference. I don't know if you can cure COVID in 48 hours, but I don't know. I don't know, yeah, man.
Not looking good. Yeah,
it's ramping through all these different leagues. So yeah, no, yeah. Just hoping that NHL can kind of get out of this and every other, you know, all the leagues, NBA and the NFL can kind of, you know, find a way to get through all this. And hopefully the season can continue in a safe manner and we can keep guys playing. So I don't know. We'll see. I know a couple teams here have been hit pretty hard. Like Calgary, right? They're a mess right now.
Yeah, Calgary. Obviously, the Islanders were for a while. It's not looking so great. But.
Yeah, yeah. Well, fingers crossed, and hopefully, taking some time off will get, you know, people get it back to where it needs to be, so they can kind of resume in a safe way. And I don't know. I don't know if you could do a bubble during the season, man. I don't know if that's possible.
It seems like the only way that it can work.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Or no fans in the arena again.
Right.
Which at that point, you know, if it means that the season can continue, I'm down for it.
Yeah. But
it does take a little bit out of the whole experience when there's no fans there.
Oh yeah, it's not even the same game.
Or even like 25% capacity or whatever it was when they first started having fans back. Yeah. It felt like there was no fans there anyway.
Oh yeah, I went to a few of those games when they were starting to let back limited fans last year. Because like employees, it was like friends and family were like the first people to go to some games. So I went to like some of those, like, you know, 10% capacity games. Everyone's like, you know, spread out and whatever. And I hated it. It sucked. You know, it's just like, yeah, it's not even the same. That's from just a fan's perspective. Like, I can't even imagine, like, playing wise. I mean, it's just that probably had to be awful. You know, yeah. Well, you hear all these guys coming out about it and talking about how, you know, they're like, let's just not think about last year because it wasn't NHL hockey, man. It's just not it's not the same without the fans. So I don't know. I guess if there's any bright side, I guess there was a newfound appreciation, I guess, for the fans. Like, you don't know what it's got, what you got till it's gone, kind of thing. Cause I feel like a lot of these players now have been so vocal about like, man, like it was awful. Like, we need fans. And like, I don't know, not like the fans weren't appreciated to begin with, but I feel like.
No, it definitely.
You and Vince in a game.
Yeah. Definitely need them there. Well, Travis, man, I truly do appreciate you hopping on with us today. And
oh yeah, thanks, man.
You got an interesting story, and you got hockey that runs through your veins, man. It's beautiful to see, and I hope that you just master that mix and mastering process so that we can expect some music in 2022, man.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, Mikey, and thanks. Thanks for having me on, man. I can talk hockey all day, man. Music, hockey. It's like, this is like the perfect show. So you got a really cool podcast here and a really solid idea. So good luck with everything in the future. It seems like you guys are doing really well. So congrats and appreciate you having me on, man.
All right, Travis, you enjoy your rest of your Saturday. I'll leave us out with a little Peter Griffin. For the listeners, all right, man?
Awesome. Hey, thanks a lot, man.
All right, peace.
See ya.
don't see it, still can't explain it. Wish I was saying more. All the time I miss you, it's every single time I see you go out the front door. But I remember who I was. Darling, you're a song that I've always loved. You know it's true. When everything you want stand next to you, the light burns through. You're all I ever needed, and I could never live without you. Stay close to my heart and just go. Hell in mind, I know it's true. You're all I ever needed, and I could never live without you. True, when everything you want standing next to you.